I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night until January 31, 2025 is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. How you doing, Al?
Vito, I am doing great, and I am right where I'm supposed to be. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. Nice weekend, and didn't get to play any golf, but did hit some balls, and, okay. Good weekend. Didn't eat much. How about you?
Well, played a lot of golf, and ate okay. It was good.
Great.
I fixed what was ailing me a little bit, and so feeling pretty good. So
that's fantastic. Well, good. I hope it continues to work. That's one thing.
It's an up and down cycle. You go up and you're feeling really good. You try to get a little bit more, and then the shit hits the fan, and then it's down to the bottom, and you hit bottom, and then you got to work your way back up again.
I know.
Golf is a tough game, Vito. It's very tough.
It is. It drives me nuts, but I love it.
For one individual, though, this weekend's golf was a redemption of sorts and a much-needed, unlikely victory with a great story behind it.
Señor Rafael Campos from Peru. Puerto Rico, excuse me, right? Puerto Rico. He wins the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. I believe it's his first victory on the PGA Tour. He shot a final round 3 under and with a 68, and he won by 3 strokes over American Andrew Novak, who shot a 71. And it was the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. And really what happens is in these types of tournaments, a lot of the big names don't show up at the end of the year, and this is actually a good way to start to kick off your 2025 season. And if you can get an early win or get a few top tens and, in the latter part, this could actually propel you for the upcoming year. And in this case, Rafael Campos, he notches his first PGA Tour victory. He moves up to 80th from 148th into the FedEx Cup. He was born in Puerto Rico, and he turned pro in 2011, so 13 years on tour, and he notches his first PGA Tour win, gets him into the Masters, gets him into the designated events in 2025, and it's just a great way to kick off the year and end the year for a golfer, a professional golfer. So what do you got on him?
Well, it was fantastic for all those reasons, and he was unlikely to even keep his tour card this year because he was having a very rough year. He wasn't winning, wasn't making cuts. 2 events are left in this calendar year. He had 2 more shots, and he kept his if he didn't win this or the next one, he was likely to lose his tour card, which would send him back to the minors, more or less. And but he shot a 9-under 62 on Saturday, and then he won it with a 3-under 68 for a 3-shot win over Andrew Novak, who was at 19 with the 19 under 265. So that's a huge win. And to overcome
really
that, just had a baby. I tell you, it's amazing when you hear these stories, because there's a lot of players, there's a lot of great players all around the world that want these PGA Tour victories, but they're elusive, hard to come by, and PGA and any professional sport, if you don't perform, you're out, and golf is no different.
That's so true, and I'm very happy for the guys. I like watching the new guys or the journeymen, you know, win, steal a victory in these types of tournaments, and it just gives them a little bit of hope, and you just never know what will happen. You know, the guy's 36, I understand, but this could propel him to close the door on one or two more tournaments, you know, in the next year or two, and it's something that, you know, you press, and now you don't have to press, and now you're looking at the possibility of winning again. So, you know, it's great. Loved it. I loved it. So.
And that was no easy course either. Oh, my. That looked rough.
I know. It certainly was. Man. I mean, and the winds were up. And
huge elevations, blind shots, wind gusting. Boy, those are very tough conditions if you never played golf, because you can't predict where the ball is going to go. So.
And then on the ladies' side, Nellie Korda won again. She wins by 3 shots over Communist China's Weiwei Zhang. And Nellie she had an anemic second round, a third round. We still shot .567 at the Annika, driven by Gainbridge at Pelican in Bel Air, Florida, which is on the west coast of Florida. And she just turned it on Sunday, and she won. Again, I think this is like her 7th tournament of the year. She's won in 2024. So next week is the finals in Naples, Florida, just down the street from Bel Air. Down the street, probably 2 hours south of Bel Air. But it's for the CME Championship. She goes in as the leader, but anybody can win. And so it's going to be a free-for-all in Naples, Florida. They're going to be playing at the Tuburon Country Club, which is a really, really nice course down in Naples. So should be fun. Weather should be halfway decent. Looking at the weather, it looks like it might be just a bit chilly, but it is November. So congratulations to Nellie Korda, 14 under par.
That is fantastic. And college football, Oregon still is number one with a perfect record of 11-0. Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, and Indiana. Indiana, which is still undefeated, and that rolls out the top five. So congratulations to all those programs. Georgia woke up, had a big victory. Army is still undefeated, but is being kept out of the higher rankings. They're ranked 18, which I think is a crime.
It is. Here it is. They expanded to 12 teams, and they still disrespect schools. You know, they allow them to be in Division One. They played some really good teams. They've beaten everybody that they've opposed. And Navy also was undefeated at one point. Now has lost 3 games after they were 6-0. Now they're 7-3, and Army just keeps winning. So we'll see what happens with the committee. And the last one, you know, last thing on sports, and sorry to hopefully not boring you here, but I think 75-year-old Mike Tyson fought 27-year-old Jake Paul on Friday. I don't know about you, but I did not subscribe to the Netflix streaming. I don't know if you did, but
I did.
I guess you did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we belong to Netflix. As much as I hate the programming. Yeah. Go on.
I don't know. I didn't watch the fight, but I understand that that the 75-year-old Mike – no, sorry, 57-year-old Mike Tyson took the round to the full 8 rounds, and he lost by a TK – sorry, he lost by a decision to the 27-year-old Jake Paul. So was it a good fight?
Well, I didn't see it until Saturday because Netflix was having streaming problems, much like Blog Talk Radio, which unfortunately will be going off air. Blog Talk Radio will be gone at the end of the year, which is going to impact what we're going to do with our program. So we're scrambling to find another site. So if you have any suggestions, please drop us a line. Only good suggestions of where to go. People tell us where to go, but we may not want to hear half of them.
Well, they are going to transition us.
But if it's constructive, let us know.
They are going to transition us to Spreaker, their sister station, correct?
Right. That is true.
Okay. Okay.
That is true. They are offering that, which is nice. And
we're looking at other alternatives because I think at the end of the year, Spreaker, their chat room goes away. So we like the chat room, like to interact with Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. I read it daily. Great news from all across the United States and all over the world for that matter. Big does a great job of putting together the news articles and the links. Allah's Willing, Executioner, The New Arab, Iran Wire, The Daily Wire. So these are some links that you can, some stories that you can follow. And then, of course, we got Ducky Northwest. Nice to see you, Ducky. Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio. I got to tell you, I say HOV Radio, and I know that he and Smoke haven't done a show, but I thank you to Blog Talk Radio because I've met some great people on Blog Talk Radio, including Gulf Dogs. And, you know, there's sort of a relationship you build, a chemistry that you build, and I'm really thankful for meeting Gulf Dogs and Smoke. And Holger and Sue from New Mexico, the Big Red Machine from Kel Fritzy from Canada. We met her through Blog Talk Radio, and may she rest in peace. We just met some great people, and one of them is Gulf Dogs. And thank you, Dogs. It's been a pleasure. I am so glad that we were able to connect on Blog Talk, and I hope that you continue to follow us. And I know we follow along with Bigfoot and Ducky. We also follow on Joshua's show, Simone Nicole. And another person that I met on Blog Talk Radio is Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Annie just, I'll tell you, where'd she go? Oh, my gosh. But Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett, fantastic. She's got a show from 1 to 5 p.m. I went to 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, also simulcasts, I think, on YouTube, and oh gosh, I hope she comes back. And I think it's on Podbean. I think she also broadcasts. And you know, she's been a wonderful lady, and I've sat in for Curtis Bennett when Curtis had some other opportunities, or conflict in his authorship, and she allowed me to come in, and I really am appreciative of that. And so it's been a pleasure meeting Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and Blog Talk has afforded those friendships and has afforded the ability to build relationships. We met Bigfoot as well, and you know, that was pretty good. He's got a great blog. So it's a cool opportunity. So hopefully, you know, we find a nice home, and we are looking. Worst comes to worst, we'll go to Spreaker.com and until we find something else. But we do plan on continuing the Global Patriot Radio show. And certainly, you know, we've got some great people as well on the show. You got Minister Simon Dakduck. What a wonderful man Osama Dakduck is. If you have an opportunity to see him live, when he brings his show on the road, he's got a commanding presence and an infectious smile, and he's got a knowledge of Islam and the Bible like no one I've heard. And Al's known him a little bit more than I have, and Osama was as a guest on our radio show before. Doing his shows on Saturday evening. So really looking forward to Minister Simon Dakduck following us as well. And then, of course, we've got Hank Jones and Polly Sports. So Hank is, has done a fantastic job, and he wants to continue, you know, broadcasting his show. And he does a great job with Poly Sports on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings during college football. So,
oh, brilliant. So when one door closes, another will open, and ditto to what Vito was saying, we thank all of y'all for being a big part of it and making this more fun than it is. So we will move on somewhere, and hopefully everybody will come along and play with us.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun on Sunday. You know, we look forward to Mondays. Mondays are it's just great. You know, I just really love doing Mondays, and I wish I could do more. And hopefully, you know, when work gets out of the way, wherever we go, I can, if you, you know, God willing, I can do some more shows too. So, well, Al, the vote is still counting. It's ongoing in Pennsylvania. And the interesting thing is the Democrat officials in multiple blue counties in Pennsylvania are admitting to counting disqualified ballots in defiance of court orders. What is going on with the Democrat Party? What about the rule of law? What about free and fair elections? What about election denial? And wait a minute. Hold on a second. The move comes as the contested Pennsylvania Senate race was called for Dave McCormick by Fox News, is headed for a recount. Pennsylvania Democrats openly admit to counting illegal ballots in McCormick-Casey race. I mean, can you believe this? I mean, really?
Yeah, I do believe it. The victory was too big to cheat. So we all came out, Republicans came out to vote in force, probably, and a lot of Democrats switched parties and voted for Trump. And that's why we won, because the cheating was there. It was rampant, but they couldn't cheat a victory out of a landslide win, because Kamala Harris was such a horrible person and candidate.
Oh, my God. Here you have the Democrat Party, okay? They're going after President Trump. The entire legacy media in the United States going after Trump for being an election denialer. Of course, we already know that Hillary Rodham Clinton and the entire Democrat Party has been in election denial. And so now they defy a court order, the judge, just like in 2020, the judge says you can't count, and they continue counting. The judges rule, but the state legislature has to pass the voting rules. So it's like, what the hell's going on in Pennsylvania? They don't like the decision that McCormick beat the establishment institutional Washington, D.C. syndicate guy, and now we're going to have to change the rules, and we're just going to go ahead and we're going to count all the illegal ballots because we want to get to the prescribed numbers so that Casey can continue to hold on to his seat. God.
And this is why we're not a democracy. A democracy will always fail because a democracy is 50% plus one. And with this type of cheating, there'll be five states that would, if we were a true democracy, as the Democrats want, then five states would control the United States of America and all the elected officials based on those numbers alone. But we are a republic, and we are represented by our officials that we elect, and because of that, our republic is able to grow and grow and can grow, and that type of system can handle any type of growth within our country that we can throw at it. But Democrats, born for failure. The system is born for failure. The socialism, Marxism will never succeed, ever. But they'll try and fail.
I hope so. According to some experts, apparently there are not enough votes, even with the recounting, that would put Casey over the top. But you know, you just cannot. you can't rely on that. I mean, because the Democrat Party machine, you know, will stop at nothing to achieve their goal. And the end goal is to unseat McCormick, and counting illegal votes is the way to go, even despite the Pennsylvania courts saying otherwise. The Associated Press has called the race for Republican Senator elect Dave McCormick, who currently holds a 26,000 vote lead over incumbent Democrat Bob Casey. But Casey has refused to concede and insisted that every vote be counted, even the illegal ones. No, he didn't say that part. The close margin within 1 percentage point triggered an automatic recount under Pennsylvania law, which is fine. But if you're counting illegal votes, at some point, even you have to question the integrity and the ethics of Bob Casey. But when you're losing your power, you know, that's another story. Yet the critical question is which votes should be counted. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled before the election that mail ballots lacking formal required signatures or dates should not be included in official results. However, there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. However, Democrat officials in Philadelphia and surrounding Bucks, Century, and Montgomery counties are ignoring that court order. What does, you know, the rule of law means nothing to the Democrat Party. They sit there and they talk about democracy, democracy, democracy. We are a constitutional republic. A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship, and we are witnessing a dictatorship in Pennsylvania, defying the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, defying a court order, defying the rule of law. The Democrat Party espouses a democracy because a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship, and that's what's happening in Bucks County. That's what's happening in Montgomery County. That's what's happening in Philadelphia, because it's their law. They want their candidate, irrespective of what the people of Pennsylvania have stated and voted on. It doesn't matter any longer. It's truly amazing what we're witnessing. And they have the audacity to chastise President Trump and to call President Trump and call him out for election denial. Oh, jeez, oh man. God. So Annie is on, I know it, enough of that. Annie is on StreamYard.com. She's got chat. She has live. She has up to 10 people. So you can send the live stream out to 8 different places. Wow, very good. All right. Well, fantastic. So Annie, like as I said earlier, she's on Friday afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m. We first met, of course, on Blog Talk Radio, and I've sat in for her co-host, author Curtis Bennett. And thank you, Annie. I really do appreciate that. We had some chemistry there, and now she's moved to StreamYard.com. So that is one that we will also check out, is StreamYard.com, and we'll let you all know what we find out. It's so easy to use, she said. Okay. We are two. Al and I are both technology geniuses. So we'll see.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think about what's happening in Pennsylvania? Sorry to jump back there, but this is insane, isn't it?
Well, it's to be expected. These down-ballot votes are very important, especially for the Senate and the House, because the degree – it looks like Republicans are going to win the House and the Senate, but by narrow margins. And the larger the margin, even though we have a mandate, President Trump won a mandate, they can be – we need a big margin in both houses to have smooth sailing. But unfortunately, we have also Mitch McConnell – who has said that he's going to block any recess appointments that President Trump will try to pass through the Senate. What a human piece of debris.
Yep, the anti-Trumpers just never stop. But you know what? Isn't he? Oh, that's right, because he doesn't leave until January the 3rd, I believe, right? Because he's supposed to be quitting at the end of the year.
That's true. I don't know when his due date is.
God. He's
or his expiration date, I should say. That could be a moment.
I'll tell you, man, just it never ends. So, and what never ends also is Biden escalating the Russia-Ukraine war prior to leaving. The globalists so want the war to continue, and they don't want Trump to end the war. You know, the only thing I can say is that Joe Biden is a scumbag. He's been his scumbag his entire political life. He's an immoral anti-constitutionalist who serves the world's governing bodies and has contempt for America's constitutional republic. And Al, you've talked about this on several occasions on this show over the past 2 months, raising concern about the escalation of the war by Ukraine by launching missiles that were provided by the United States by the Biden-Harris regime, okay, launching missiles into Russia and what that could mean as far as escalating tensions, the war, and possibly plunging America into World War III.
Well, Sam Faddis in A&D Magazine wrote a great story titled Lighting the Fuse on World War III and Walking Out the Door. Sometime back, the United States and its allies began to contemplate allowing the Ukrainians to use ballistic missiles supplied by the West, namely the United States, to hit targets deep inside of Russia. Putin reacted viscerally. He announced that an attack on Russia by Ukraine using these weapons would be treated as an attack by NATO itself. He also announced that he would reserve the right to respond to such an attack with conventional weapons by using Russian nuclear weapons, and he has plenty. But just to make sure that everyone got the point, Russian state television then ran a video of a simulated nuclear weapons attack on London. This is the going away present that President Biden is leaving the United States of America.
For what? Okay. What reason? What could possibly be the reason that the corrupt little Joe Biden would want the Russia-Ukrainian war to escalate? I mean, for what reason? You had Barack Hussein, Sator Obama, and Joe Biden as the VP. They were asleep at the wheel when Russia invaded Ukraine the first time and took Crimea. And now, dementia Joe Biden was sitting in his basement, and Russia, and he provoked Russia to invade the Ukraine, and they did. And this is yet another foreign policy blunder. And if this is about Joe Biden's legacy, it's a legacy of failure, especially on the foreign policy side. And if you all remember, it was Barack Hussein, Sator Obama, who was pitching that Joe Biden was his foreign policy guru. And it turns out that Joe Biden's been wrong on every front, everything from Afghanistan to the Ukraine to Israel, backing the Iranians, letting the Iranians back into the game, helping to reconstitute their treasury. And now we have an issue with regards to missiles, the potential of missiles being fired into Russia. Why would little Joe Biden encourage his financier, Zelensky, into firing missiles into Russia? I mean, this is insane. I mean, I just, for what reason now? For what reason?
Well, other than being able to start world chaos and then just being able to walk away, this really doesn't make much sense. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said, quote, if such a decision has indeed been formulated and communicated to the Kiev regime, then of course this is a new round of escalation of tensions and a new situation in terms of the involvement of the United States in this conflict, and we are proceeding from this, so Moscow's position should be absolutely clear to everyone, which it is, that these signals have been received by the collective West, and they were voiced by the president in St. Petersburg. So critics of the apparent decision by the Biden to permit long-range strikes into Russia have branded the action as ill-considered and dangerous. They've characterized this action as reckless and dangerous. They have branded Biden and his advisors as feckless and incompetent. So there is no good reason for this. I can't even begin to speculate on what President Biden is trying to achieve, essentially lobbing U.S. missiles deep into Russia and starting World War III with a nuclear-capable country, with a huge nuclear arsenal. What do you think?
Well, one is, I think that little Joe Biden and Barack Obama and George Soros, the world body, they are trying to find a way to sabotage President Trump's presidency, his second term. That would be the collective world body, don't like the idea of putting America first. And the reason Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were installed was to put America last, as they did, as the G20 did by putting Joe Biden in the back of the photo. I believe that the corruption with Zelensky is far deeper than everyone knows. We know that there's corruption, that Zelensky is corrupt as hell. Has it been a money laundering scheme? Very possible. The fact is that when his wife is traveling around the world, you know, with $50,000 handbags, as the Hamas, the leader of Hamas's wife has been doing as well. She's shopping at exclusive boutiques in France. And we're still giving, you know, Ukraine billions of dollars. Why? When on the world body side, you have the world body, like the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, you have to connect these dots. They've all adopted Agenda 2030, and they've adopted the Paris Accord. And I really do believe that there is a definite relationship here, because what people don't understand is that Ukraine was the biggest supplier of fertilizer to the African Union. And the African Union now, the African Union has to find a way to manufacture their own fertilizer, because obviously the Ukraine is not manufacturing fertilizer, which they were one of the chief manufacturers in the world. And when the African Union stated 2 years ago that they were going to start manufacturing their own fertilizer, the United States, led by dementia Joe Biden, and the European Union, another corrupt world body, paid the African Union somewhere in the vicinity of $11 to $14 billion not to manufacture fertilizer under the guise of climate change. We have a climate crisis. In the meantime, you've got farmers in Africa who grow crops in order to feed the African people, which thereby creates famine. And then we see commercials on TV, just give $19 a month to these people in Africa who are starving. In the meantime, we've just given $12 billion of U.S. taxpayer money. Why? Because of this war in Ukraine. And now Ukraine, one of the chief producers of fertilizer, is not producing anymore. Zelensky is reaping billions of dollars. Where's it gone? And now you have Donald Trump coming in and saying he's going to end the wars. And the globalists don't want this war ended. They want it to continue. Joe Biden basically just turned the other cheek when he provoked Russian President Vladimir Putin to go in and invade Ukraine back in 2022. And he did. And so, you know, and 3 days prior to that, you had the vice president, okay, Kamala Harris, going to the Ukraine, visiting Ukraine, and assuring them that was not going to happen. And look what happens. 3 days later, Russia invades Ukraine. One more point out. I was speaking to a retired general several years ago, and we got into the discussion of the nuclear weapons. And, you know, that's a troubling issue. You know, Russia and the United States, adversaries. And I asked them, you know, what happens if Russia should launch a nuclear strike on the United States? He goes, well, first of all, they're not going to send just one nuclear missile, nuclear attack on us. They're going to send their entire arsenal. And guess what we do? We send our entire arsenal. And guess what happens? We wipe out the world. He says, so it's not going to happen. At least that's his thought process. And, you know, the more I think about that, the more I have to agree with that. Unless you want to wipe out human existence, because if Russia fires their nuclear arsenal at the United States, we have no choice but to release all of ours. And if we do that, we're going to probably send them to China. And China then also releases theirs. So what have we done? We've wiped out human mankind. So I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't believe that Vladimir Putin will be that foolish. Unless, of course, he wants to end human existence. But the recklessness of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris going out, Obama told Joe to do it, Golf Dog says. And that's exactly right. You know, I do believe that the Obama regime, the alumni, are running this entire operation. They allowed Russia back in 2014 or 15 to take Crimea. And what did Obama do? He did nothing. Right? So what's the difference that you've got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? They're all puppets for who? Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. And his entire alumni regime sits in the Oval Office in the executive branch of government right now. So should we be surprised?
Very well. No, and we shouldn't. The Wall Street Journal yesterday put up a tweet stating President Biden has for the first time authorized Ukrainian forces to use Western-made long-range weapons to strike inside Russia, which we've articulated. Awkward Alex Soros, that's George Soros' son who has taken over his empire, tweeted, quote, "This is great news!" Exclamation point. Sam Faddis, on the other hand, he said this is awkward. Alex Soros said this is great news about the United States giving authorization to bomb Russia. So, world chaos. Now, Biden, Sam Faddis goes on to say that Biden and his national security team know exactly what they are doing. They're trying to guarantee that the conflict in Ukraine has escalated out of control before Trump sits down in the Oval Office. They've been trying to provoke a war with Russia since this conflict began, and this is their last chance to do it. Biden is lighting the fuse on World War III and walking out the door. And in fact, that is true, because the whole Russia gate, waste of time and lies, that put strains on the United States-Russia relationship going all the way back 5-10 years now. And I could never really understand why we would poke the bear unnecessarily.
Yeah.
When I was incorrectly saying that China, Russia, and the United States would form strong ties in the battle against jihad, worldwide jihad, but that never really happened. And in fact, we have China and North Korea siding with Russia and sending troops to help the Russian army do whatever they are doing. So now China and North Korean troops are on the ground in Ukraine and Russia, which makes this even more volatile, because now you have China in there. So God knows how this is going to turn out, but the world is relatively silent. You don't hear about this in the news. This is an impending disastrous doom, and it seems like our mainstream media is doing cover for Joe Biden as he goes, as he's just leading us at lightning speed into a world conflict. Scary, extremely scary, and you should be concerned.
Well,
I am.
When you start connecting the dots, you see that Golf Dogs is right on the money when he says Obama told Joe to do so. The national security advisor for Joe Biden is Jake Sullivan. Jake Sullivan also worked for Barack Hussein's tour Obama from 2011 to February of 2013. You've got Russia invading Crimea. You've got the national security advisor to the vice president of the United States, which would be Joe Biden, in 2013 to 2014 was Jake Sullivan. So there's a consistency of these communists these anti-Americans like Jake Sullivan who continue to work for the regime of either Obama Biden or Biden Harris. The Obama alumni regime, along with George Soros and family, are dangerous individuals. And let's face it, it was Vladimir Putin who kicked George Soros out of Russia when you've got George Soros was taking advantage of the dismantling of the Soviet Union and tried to corner some markets, I believe some oil markets. And Vladimir Putin threw his ass out of Russia. So no wonder why awkward Alex of the Soros family, Alex Soros of the George Soros family, is loving the fact that that the Obama alumni regime called for Ukraine to attack Russia. So just connect the dots. You know, Joe Biden, well, he's the front man. Suddenly has a lucid moment. You know, here's a guy who's been an embarrassment his entire political life. He's been wrong on every foreign policy issue since January 20, 2021. And now he's looking to escalate a war with Russia and potentially start World War III. I mean, I just love what Addis wrote. Biden and his national security team know exactly what they are doing. They are trying to guarantee that the conflict in Ukraine has escalated out of control before Trump sits down in the Oval Office. They have been trying to provoke a war with Russia since this conflict began, and this is their last chance to do it. Biden is lighting the fuse on World War III and walking out the door. Now, I wouldn't say walking. I would say shuffling out the door. And let's face it, this war with Russia, okay, this conflict, Russia-Ukraine, started in 2014. And it's the same players in 2014 that are provoking this conflict to escalate the war with Russia in 2024. It's the same people. It's the Jake Sullivans. It's the Joe Obamas. It's the Barack Hussein Satoru Obamas. These are the national security advisors, the Anthony Blinkens. Okay, this apple doesn't far from the tree. Okay, you have to understand that the Obama alumni team is running the show in the Biden-Harris regime, and it's the same set of radicals who sought to dismantle our constitutional republic who are now poking the bear. And that bear being Russia. It's the same individuals who started the Russia, Russia, Russia narrative, the phony narrative, okay, to tie President Trump to Russia because they had nothing else. You know, it was the Hillary Rotten Clinton's MI6 with Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and the U.S. intelligence agencies run by Tapper, okay, that started this phony Russian collusion narrative. And then we find out it indeed was Hillary Rotten Clinton, and it was MI6 who constructed and concocted the Steele dossier. And where's the outrage by the U.S. media, who was played by Hillary Rotten Clinton, by the Democrat National Committee, which was run by then little Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Oh, I have a great clip with little Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So little Debbie Wasserman Schultz was on a TV show, one of the maybe MSNBC or something, and she was asked a question about Tulsi Gabbard, okay? And Tulsi Gabbard now, along with Pete Hegseth and Getz, okay, are the new punching bags for the radical left-wing lunatics. And they were asking little Debbie Wasserman Schultz about Trump naming Tulsi Gabbard as the director of national intelligence. So basically what's going on is that they're regurgitating old news, okay? So they're old sound bites is what they're doing. And they regurgitated little Debbie Wasserman Schultz, okay, to go on MSNBC and CNN and to start a new narrative or create the new narrative that Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian operative, okay? You know, she was bought and paid for by the Russians. She's a little Russian asset. I'm going to play this little clip. It's only I didn't want to play the long version because I can only take 48 seconds of little Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's corrupt to the core. How she continues to get reelected to the House, and the fact is that because she has no standards or ethics, okay, she should have resigned from the United States House of Representatives when she was caught cheating in the 2016 elections when she was serving as DNC chair. But see, she doesn't have the ethics to do so. So here's a description of she symbolizes the corruption that's in Washington D.C. And that's little Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So here is little Debbie commenting on Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard is someone who has met with war criminals, violated the Department of State's guidance, and secretly, clandestinely went to Syria and met with Assad, who gassed and attacked his own people with chemical weapons. She's considered to be, essentially, by most assessments, a Russian asset, and would be the most.
Is that how you consider her? Is that what you consider her?
Oh yes, there's no question.
I consider her a Russian asset. You know, this is the same little woman who started the phony Russian narrative about President Trump. Okay, along with Hillary Rotten Clinton. And don't forget, it was little Debbie Wasserman Schultz who was running the DNC in 2016, abruptly resigned on the day the DNC convention was to start. Why? Because she was caught cheating for Hillary Rotten Clinton. Don't tell me that little Debbie Wasserman Schultz wasn't in bed with Hillary Rotten Clinton, figuratively or literally, okay, in regards to rigging the 2016 Democrat Party presidential primary. She was caught red-handed doing it. You want to talk about violating the trust and tampering with a free and fair election as she did with the Democrat Party? And yet this little woman continues to serve in the United States House of Representatives. She's a total and utter disgrace. She secretly, you want to talk about secretly and clandestinely? She secretly helped rig the Democrat Party presidential primary for Hillary Rotten Clinton against who? Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders and his supporters were absolutely put out by this, except Bernie Sanders is a good party man, and he did what a good party man does, and he cast a deciding vote to nominate Hillary Rotten Clinton, Democrat Party nominee for President of the United States. But his supporters were outraged by this. But you know something? Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz, this is the only time she's cheated. Okay? There were these brothers called the Awan brothers. who were technology dudes from Iran. And guess who was in bed with the Awan brothers? Yes, little Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You want to talk about violating trust? You want to talk about secret and clandestine? And guess what? The Awan brothers are nowhere to be found. Thanks to little Debbie Wasserman Schultz compromising national security. You know, no one talks about this stuff, okay? U.S. Congress, by the way, by the Awan family, there were three brothers. They netted at least $7 million plus vast amounts of sensitive intelligence to be used by Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, and the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, whose mission is the explanatory memorandum, the Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And guess who helped the Awan brothers with the Muslim Brotherhood from within our house? It was Debbie Wasserman Schultz. The Awan brothers had access to the DNC and they had access to sensitive information as a member of the United States House. And what did Nancy Pelosi do? Nothing. Nothing. And now got little Debbie Wasserman Schultz accusing Tulsi Gabbard of being a Russian asset? Camps inside the U.S. and much, much more. Okay? Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the patsy with other Democrats assisting with the cover-ups of the Awan brothers, financing for the 26 Muslim terror camps inside the United States, and much more. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a disgrace. And this should have been a scandal. But because Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a Democrat, it was swept under the rug. It was swept under the rug by the United States House of Representatives, which was led by Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan. It was swept under the rug, under the proverbial prayer rug, by the U.S. legacy media. Why? Because they're in bed with the Democrat Party. And for Debbie Wasserman Schultz to accuse Tulsi Gabbard of being a Russian agent, a Russian asset, is a flat-out lie. This is how low the Democrat Party will go. They already have a small person in little Debbie Wasserman Schultz making those false and inflammatory accusations. And I hope Tulsi Gabbard fights back. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even give Debbie Wasserman Schultz the time of day. She's a disgusting little individual. And the fact that she's not answered for the Awan brothers, and the fact that the Awan brothers left one of her hard drives from her house computer in a telephone booth in the United States Capitol and then fled. And we have no idea where the Awan brothers are now. They're back in Iran. But what information did they bring back to Iran? Huh? What information did they bring back to Iran? And so thank you to Debbie Wasserman Schultz for allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to achieve their goal to destroy America from within. Because you allowed them to come within, and you've never had to answer that. And now you have the disgusting actions to call Tulsi Gabbard a Russian agent. You're a despicable little person, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Shame on you. But you have no shame because you have no ethics, you have no morals, and you certainly don't have any patriotism. And yes, I'm going to question all of those because her track record tells us exactly what little Debbie Wasserman Schultz is. She's a little anti-American. She's a cheat. She's a thief. She cheated in the 2016 elections. She got caught and she had to resign. And abruptly resigned, and she was never held accountable for it. There was a cover-up after cover-up, including the next DNC chair who came in. I forget her name. She's on Fox News. You know, another person who spews the party line. You know, this Awan Brothers thing is a scandal. It's a scandal. And you know what? The House doesn't want it. They don't want to dig deeper into this. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was up to her eyeballs in it. She's a corrupt little woman. And to sit there and to call Tulsi Gabbard a Russian asset, fuck you, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. When I talk about violating public trust, you certainly did just that. God mighty. Al, you covered the Awan brothers back in 2016. You did a lot of 15, 16, and 17. You know a little bit more. I mean, they were three brothers. No one knows where they are, right?
No, they went back. They went back to their Middle Eastern country, and they did dirty work for Wasserman Schultz. Like you said, it was all passed over, and they got themselves undone. They destroyed evidence, and there is no. There's no jail time for anybody.
None.
End of story.
None.
Very similar to President Biden shooting, authorizing Ukraine to fire long-range missiles into Russia. The world should be up in arms over this. The House and the Senate should be having emergency sessions about this.
Right. Right.
Where are the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Are they going along with this insanity? Because that's what it is. This is insanity. Trump coming into office, we have Zelensky even talking about surrender or trying to go to the table and work out some type of a end to the violence. And he's made that public. And now they're heating it up for no reason.
Well, okay, so here's yet another one. Here's another story, okay? So what if, here we go again with Joe Biden. He's speaking totally incoherently. His national security team never subscribed to this. Biden is trying to sound tough. He has a lucid couple of seconds and before the dementia kicks back in, and he actually, decides that he's going to make the decision on his own. And the national security team are sitting there going, we never said that. You know, how do we save face? So do you save face by not having any of the, any of the Joint Chiefs of Staff coming out or anybody in Congress coming out and denouncing what Biden said because it's actually not the plan of action? I mean, this is, this is what happens when here's a guy who doesn't have the mind elevated to the president of the United States, and he can't make rational decisions. And this is an irrational thought process. And where is Congress? Because Congress is that supposed to be that checks and balance, not that the executive branch really cares about the judiciary or the congressional, the legislative branch as far as giving checks and balances. But where is the outrage, okay, by the Senate Select Committees, by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, by the House Committees, the House Foreign Relations Committee? Where are they? Where are they? You know, this has been the pattern for the last 4 years. They all sit on their hands. They allow this recklessness and fecklessness to come out of the Biden-Harris regime, whether it's the foreign policy or it's domestic policies, including the border, including energy. And then the Democrats sit around now going, I don't know how we lost this election. It's got to be white people. It's got to be white females. It's got to be, the Latino community left us, and we don't know why. I mean, the black community, this, and they have to fraction America once again in this identity politics. In the meantime, we have serious problems going on now with the prospect of dementia. Joe Biden stated to Zelensky to use long-range missiles to attack Russia. I mean, that is irrational. This is what somebody with dementia would do. If this guy's some sort of foreign policy genius, this guy's lost his mind.
Well, according to the report, when he was caught with classified documents all over his residence, his offices all over the city, unprotected, and he should have gone to jail for that because he had no authorization. President Biden had no authorization to take classified material. The final report said that he's just a nice old man who basically has lost his marbles. And that's how the jury would see him, so we're not going to press charges. And here he is threatening Russia and giving Ukraine the green light to fire ballistic missiles deep into Russia. How can those two things be true? And one we know is true, that he got off on the classified material, and now he's making these type of policy decisions without any pushback.
Exactly. Where's Blinken?
All I can pray, you know, I don't know. All I can pray is that President Trump is, through somebody else, or somebody is having some back channel negotiations, even though it would be illegal. He can't do that because it's illegal.
He can't do that.
But you can't make public statements, and hopefully he is turning down the temperature on this thing.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. This is insane. But you know what? When you don't have a president who has a mind, you know, he's spoken out of turn many times. He's spoken in situations where even his staff had to walk back things because, you know, Joe Biden's got diarrhea of the mouth. You know, we heard about the diarrhea of the mouth in April of 2019, you know, when he blew the whistle on the Ukrainian quid pro quo. And then, of course, you know, that would have had the house of cards that would have fell, you know, including John Kerry's kid, Nancy Pelosi, and possibly even Mitt Romney's kids involved in Ukrainian energy. Not to mention, you know, Hunter Biden's reaping of rewards from Ukrainian energy. And that led to the...
Which is very well documented.
Exactly. And it led to the first impeachment for President Trump for making a phone call and to find out about it after Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth. God almighty. I mean, it was all his own admission, for crying out loud. Well, so you've got Tulsi Gabbard now has been is a nominee for Director of National Intelligence. You've got the White House Press Secretary nominee now is Carolyn Leavitt. She served as the National Press Secretary for the 2024 Trump campaign. 27 years old. She's a fireball. I got a little clip of her. I got to play. She took on the legacy media, and she is incredible. Here's a 47-second clip of Carolyn Leavitt, he's a nominee for White House Press Secretary, taking over for the propaganda princess, Pierre.
All of the debates that we have announced on this campaign, and there have been many of them, have come from President Trump directly, so I will let him make an announcement on that front. What I can also say is last night was a big success for President Trump. He was able to highlight his record of success in his first term with the failures of the last 4 years of Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris needs to do a sit-down interview, John. President Trump, I can assure you, one thing I can say this morning is he will absolutely continue to do media interviews, sit down with local stations like we do in every battleground state we travel to, hours-long podcast interviews and press conferences. Kamala Harris is going on day 52 of not doing any of that, and she has to, because after last night, the American people still have a lot of unanswered questions about her record and where she stands on the issues.
And Carolyn Leavitt on September 11th after the September debate with President Trump had with Chameleon Harris. So it was kind of great, I'll tell you. She's going to be good. And of course, you've got Pete Hegseth, who has been nominated for President Trump's nominee for Department of Defense Secretary, and he's facing some backlash now. And the lunatic leftist now going after Pete Hegseth's tattoos. They're, of course, in, let's see, what would you say, The left wing has used the same old tactics. You've got little Debbie Wasserman Schultz with the Russian agent and Russian asset, and now you've got the same old tired cliches from the left wing about being Pete Hegseth being a white nationalist because of his tattoos, and then having the Jewish the Jewish cross tattooed on his chest and. Oh, all this crap and all this garbage. The fact is that here's a guy who's a retired military, okay? And Hegseth served. He's got a Bronze Star. So it's not like he doesn't understand what war is. Also, he's made some comments about the current Secretary of Defense and his negligence. So, I mean, it's kind of negligent that for 2 weeks you don't tell the Commander-in-Chief where you are, you know, because you're only like the third in line, you know, in the chain of command under the current administration, but then you don't tell your boss where you are for 10 days. Of course, and Joe Biden's not smart enough to even ask the question after 2 days, right? So Pete Hegseth is another one. And who else we got here? We got Matt Gaetz, who's going to face a tough confirmation process. Because he's considered a maverick, and I thought it was an interesting pick for – never saw it coming, but Matt Gaetz pick for Attorney General.
I like it.
I do, too.
He's going to shake things up, and people are afraid of him. And he was investigated 2 years ago by the Democrats, by the Democrat Attorney General, and they found nothing. But they're still going to bring up this charge just to tame him. So this is a killing of political killing of Matt Gaetz. And even if it fails, President Trump will be able to do a recess appointment, and that'll be good for 2 years. But he has nothing. He took out the Republican Speaker of the House for not following his obligations and what he agreed to do. Much less the current Speaker did the same thing. But he had the guts to do it, and he pushed it through. That made a lot of enemies within the Republican Party. But he did what he said he was going to do, and he did the right thing for the right reasons. And I think that's worthy of a try. I've seen him. You can find his YouTube clips speaking on the floor of the House, and they're phenomenal. He challenges everybody, Republican, Democrat, and I like that.
I do too. And you know what? It was a surprise. I was expecting someone else or another. Matt Gaetz's name was never even on the radar, at least from what I was reading, and to have him on there. But you know, the tweet of the day, I think, comes from a Wendy Patterson. And if you don't follow Wendy Patterson on X, please do. You go to it's at Wendy P, P as in Paul, 4545. That's Wendy P, 4545. And this morning she posted a tweet on X, and I got to tell you, it's one of the best tweets, not only of the day, probably of the week, of the month. She says, "Good morning. I have to laugh. Years now informing you about how corrupt our government is and how the parties united into one uniparty who decided to move the country into communism. That they all agreed mainly because of greed to allow our country to become part of the global world by selling their authority to our enemies, Iran and China. It took me over a year to finally draw enough attention to it that people started listening and looking back and seeing it for themselves. Today, after years of putting so much thought behind which lessons to teach you and what information to share, the Republicans in the United States Congress are going to show you so you can see and hear for yourself everything that I've been informing you all along. Maybe I should have just waited for them to out themselves. Either way, here in real life, in real time, you will get to witness how much your representatives hates our country and who the communists are on the Republican side. Homework. Pay close attention to what Speaker Johnson brings to the House floor. And remember that Ethics Committee doesn't release anything that the Speaker of the House doesn't want released. Oh, let me say that once again. Speaker Johnson brings to the House floor, and remember that the Ethics Committee doesn't release anything that the Speaker of the House doesn't want released. You will know that they're against Trump actively if you watch for two things. Now the Senate. Homework. The nominations that Trump wants as his cabinet members have been confirmed by the Senate. Oh, sorry. The nominations that Trump wants as his cabinet members have to be confirmed by the Senate. The Senate, the same Senate who passed Biden-Harris cabinet members who forced DEI, trans, and fossil fuels and spent us into this high inflation without batting an eye. Watch the Republicans' actions and listen to what they say so you can see and hear their communism for yourself. When they have a problem with Matt Gaetz, Tulsi, Kennedy, and Pete, that'd be Pete Hegseth, but are okay with Garland, Mayorkas, Blinken, and Samantha Power, their communism will show itself. When you start to see that they want to block the very people who want to put America first after confirming everyone who literally put Americans last, then you'll know what you have successfully completed your homework assignment, and that you witnessed it all for yourself. Wendy P., that was fantastic. And I couldn't help when you, in you articulating this, that you said, watch Republicans' actions and listen to what they say so you can see and hear their communism for yourself. When they have a problem with Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., and Pete Hegseth, but they're okay with Garland, Mayorkas, Blinken, and Samantha Power. Not many people understand the role that Samantha Power plays. Samantha Power is a Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama disciple. She is a leftist, a communist. She is a Marxist. Samantha Power was put in charge of USAID, the Department USAID, USAID. They have a $50 billion budget. And some of that money has gone to Red Cross, the Norwegian Refugee Council, goes to the United Nations. And all three of those entities, the Red Cross, the Norwegian Refugee Council, the United Nations, have all been undermining America's sovereignty. Not only has Biden, Harris, Mayorkas violated Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, but so has Samantha Power. And Samantha Power funds NGOs, non-governmental offices around the world, including she also funds such as the UNRWA, the EU, by the way. And they have been funding, the Norwegian Refugee Council, Red Cross, UNRWA, the United Nations, UNICEF, the European Union, Doctors Without Borders, the Norwegian Refugee Council, have been funding the illegal alien refugees coming in from Central and South America. And these illegal aliens, if they can't get into the United States directly, they come in through South America, and they go into what's called the Darien Gap. And the Darien Gap being in Panama, there is a large stopover. And in that stopover, the United Nations and UNICEF Doctors Without Borders. They give them they give the migrants who are going to enter the United States illegally a backpack of supplies, including what's called a rape kit for the ladies. And the OIM is a UN company. UNICEF is a UN company. The UNRWA is a UN company. The UNHCR is a UN organization. The Norwegian Refugee Council, which sponsors the illegal alien invasion into the United States, is also funded by USAID. You know, Barack Hussein Tatar Obama has successfully placed his radicals, his anti-Americans, his anti-constitutionalists within the executive branch and running key departments in the United States. Sure, we see the Anthony Blinkens and we see the Jake Sullivans, but you don't see behind the scenes such as Samantha Power. These people have an ulterior motive, and that motive is to systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. And they've done so by funding the illegal alien invasion into the United States. And once again, like the reckless Joe Biden and giving Ukraine the authorization to fire long-range missiles into Russia, have violated the U.S. Constitution. They have no regards for the Constitution. And Annie posed a great question in the chat room. If Joe Biden has authorized the Ukrainians to use our ballistic missiles to fire on Russia, and Russia said publicly that any nuclear nation who allows Ukraine to use those weapons on Russia, they have declared war on Russia, and Russia will use nukes on them. Has Biden declared war on Russia without consent from Congress? And Al, that's a great question, because technically he has. He's made another unilateral decision, as he's done with things like the student loan, like with migration, using taxpayer-funded money to fly illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens into the United States, using USAID that's run by Samantha Power to facilitate the illegal alien invasion into the United States, violating Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. Why would Joe Biden continue to comply with the U.S. Constitution as he's been avoiding the Constitution with regards to war being declared on Russia without the consent from Congress? Once again, using the Ukraine in a way that backdoors the Constitution, and yet we've heard nothing from the United States Congress. There's been no public outcry, and we know they can cry, because we've seen it whenever President Trump was in office. We've seen the Maxine Waters and the Sheila Jackass Lees go absolutely ballistic over President Trump's decisions. We've heard Nasty Pelosi misrepresent the travel ban that was put in place by President Trump. Misrepresent. She lied. She engaged in misinformation. It was a 7-country travel ban. It wasn't banning all Muslims. If there's 57 Islamic nations and there's only 5 nations on that no travel list, then how are you banning all Muslims? And so the coordinated effort by the Washington, D.C. syndicate, when they want to cry foul, they're there. And yet they're absolutely silent with this recklessness. One, the recklessness of the border and the decisions made by Biden, Harris, Obama to undermine America's sovereignty. It was crickets until January of 2024. And now we have a situation which could escalate the war with Russia, Ukraine, and Dementia Joe is at a G20 summit, and he makes that statement. And where's the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson? Where is the U.S. House Foreign Relations Committee chair? Where is the Senate Foreign Relations Committee chair? I know the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee chair is run by the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party loyalists won't say a word. But we're not talking about party politics here. We're talking about the recklessness of an old, feeble man. And we know he's old and feeble because that was told to us by her when he said that Joe Biden couldn't testify because of his advanced age. So I don't know what the hell's going on here, but when you pay close attention to what's happening, whether it's immigration, whether it is student loans, whether it's foreign policy, or whether it's President Trump's nominees being sabotaged by the United States Senate, Wendy P. nailed it. She hit it on the head because this goes further. This goes beyond the simple nominees. But the same U.S. senators, the same institutional establishment syndicate players who are bemoaning Getz, who are bemoaning Headset, have a problem with Tulsi Gabbard or RFK Jr., are the same institutional Washington, D.C. syndicate uniparty players who voted in favor of Merrick Garland, who has abused the Department of Justice, who has weaponized the Department of Justice against political opponents. Because that political opponent is Donald Trump, the Washington, D.C. syndicate, the uniparty, has been silent. The abuse of power by Merrick Garland is like nothing we've seen before. It's worse than Watergate. Then you've got Mayorkas. What a perfect chimpanzee to be running the Department of Homeland Security. He looks at you and says nothing. He flat out lies to you. And the United States Senate confirmed this person as Department of Homeland Security Secretary. I think President Trump did a great thing, and he named Tom Homan as border czar. And guess what? The border czar is not a confirmation process. And now we're going to see what John Thune's made of. John Thune said all the right things during his acceptance speech as Senate Majority Leader. Oh, well, we're going to make sure that we help advance the Trump agenda, right? Because that's what the majority of Americans wanted. And they want. We're going to see if John Thune, the establishment syndicate player, can deliver on that promise. Or will he go along and sabotage the nominations of Matt Gaetz, of Pete Hegseth? Because they don't want outsiders. They don't want mavericks in those departments. Why? Because maybe if they peel that onion back, maybe John Thune's name's on there. Maybe Nancy Pelosi's name is in there. Maybe the corruption of the Biden-Harris-Obama regime surfaces and is validated. Memorandums, right? We had 10,000 pages of Peter Strzok, Lisa Page documents. 10,000 pages, and the U.S. media ignored how they tried to sabotage Trump's candidacy in 2016. 10,000 pages of correspondence between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. And the United States House of Representatives, the U.S. Congress did nothing. And now President Trump is faced with his nominees, and I think he nominated Gaetz and Pete Hegseth to see what John, well, especially Gaetz. I think, you know, within hours of John Thune being elected Senate Majority Leader, out of nowhere, Matt Gaetz is nomination by President Trump for Attorney General. I think it caught everybody flat-footed. And it was absolutely great, Al. And I truly can't wait to see what happens with John Thune, because I think if anybody is to sabotage that nomination, it's got to be John Thune. He's not working to advance Trump's agenda.
No, he's an anti-Trumper.
From the word go.
And all of these people that you've mentioned, from McConnell to all the Democrats that have gone anti-Trump, and these people that he is saying that he's going to put in to sensitive and cabinet positions, they've never said one word about Admiral Levine. Admiral Levine is a female impersonator, cross-dresser, who is very instrumental and dangerous in promoting beta blockers, medical procedures on children who are having gender dysphoria. These are underage children going under the knife and making a lot of money for these butcher doctors who are destroying these kids. All of them. This guy, this man is dangerous. And yet he's been getting a quiet pass because he's trans. He's part of the protected class. And then it even gets worse. Homan fires back after Congressional Hispanic Caucus Chair says group will oppose mass deportations. Homan replies, game on. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus will oppose the planned mass deportation campaign. Representative Ninette Diaz-Barragan, Democrat from California, declared during remarks on Friday. During a Saturday appearance on Fox News Live, Homan, who Trump tapped to serve as border czar, responded to the lawmaker's remarks, the Democrat Marxist, Barragan, the Democrat from California. He said, game on, he declared, adding, shame on her. Because Homan, who previously served as acting director of ICE, said the lawmaker should resign from Congress, noting that ICE enforces laws enacted by the nation's legislature that are currently on the books. And prior to winning the 2024 presidential election, Trump pledged to initiate the biggest mass deportation in nation's history. So the good news reports that the incoming real Donald Trump administration is prepared to declare a national emergency and will use military assets to reverse the Biden invasion through a mass deportation program, which Trump confirmed from a Tom Fenton tweet. Now, why this is so bad is that it violates it's something called nullification. When a member of Congress declares they will not follow a federal law, this is generally referred to as an act of nullification, which is a controversial concept where a government official, in this case a member of Congress, essentially declares a federal law yet to happen to be invalid within their jurisdiction, effectively refusing to enforce it. However, this practice is considered unconstitutional and has been repeatedly rejected by the Supreme Court. So we have a Democrat representative refusing to enforce the rule of law because she disagrees with it. That woman is not fit for office.
Agreed.
And as far as these appointments go, I really believe that Trump learned his lesson from his first administration when he was new to the game. He was taking advice from elder statesmen and the people that he put into positions, which, according to the Rogan interview, he has about 4,000 appointments to make. But these main cabinet level and right below that he's made so far, he's learned that the establishment Republicans will stab him in the back at every turn, like they did in his first administration. So he learned from that, and now the majority of his posts are previous, redeemed Democrats, who I don't really fully trust, but also these are non-establishment politicians and elected officials who will enforce the rule of law and are constitutionalists above all else. And that's what scares the Democrats and the establishment Republicans to the core. Especially Elon Musk, in my opinion, because he is going to, him and Ramaswamy,
Yes.
They are actually, yeah, I love the fact that they're going to come in and shave off the fat, the fraud within the federal government like nobody has ever done before, and they are true outsiders. And Elon Musk understands government fat, waste, fraud, and abuse because he's been working with NASA that has failed repeatedly trying to get rockets into space, and Elon Musk just shot another one up today.
You know, I heard an analogy about that with Elon Musk. Elon Musk has 15,000 employees, okay? He does more at SpaceX with 15,000 employees than the U.S. government does with 500,000 employees. Now think about that. This guy is launching 2-3 rockets a month, sometimes 2 in a week. And it was the United States government who now is relying on SpaceX to bring back the 2 astronauts stranded up at the space station because of a failure of the United States government, Boeing. And they spent how many billions of dollars on that particular manned rocket? And Elon Musk has done more with 15,000 employees versus 500,000. I mean, you know, how is that possible? So yes,
and
I agree with
you. In the space program, he's advanced it. And his rocket ship has 32 engines that coordinate to get this rocket into air using technology that was not even around 5 years ago, and they made it work. And we've all seen that video footage of the one booster that came down and landed back at the launch pad when the 2 metal chopsticks came in and held it tight. It came back where it started, which has never been done before. No country on earth can do it. Only Elon Musk did it. So I'm excited about what he's going to do. And what do you think his motivation is? He's another one of these guys. He's a multi-multi. He's richer than President Trump by twice, if not more, maybe 3 times, 4 times possibly. What in the world does he – why does he need this job in government where he's going to piss off half the people in the United States who hate him just because he is a friend of Trump?
You know what I think, Al?
What do you think?
I think it goes to when Musk bought Twitter, when he purchased Twitter, the first thing that he did was he allowed Matt Taibbi and I think Walter Kern and another person to go in and to investigate the Twitter files. And I think Musk was just, he was a billionaire who wanted to buy Twitter and just to get into that platform. And he believed in free speech, but not as much as he respects the free speech now. And what Matt Taibbi uncovered about what Twitter was doing under Jack Dorsey with the federal government, which would have been the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris regime and the Department of Homeland Security in order to control speech in America. I think that changed Elon Musk to another degree. One, he saw the inefficiency in the space program, okay? And it was SpaceX versus NASA, okay, and the inability for Boeing to even successfully manufacture rockets even at an affordable price. So in the meantime, you know, while NASA and Boeing are sucking their thumb, you've got SpaceX launching, you know, rocket after rocket and then perfecting things. And then you got the Twitter issue, the Twitter files on top of that after all of this is happening. And you've got he saw the corruption of Jack Dorsey and Twitter collaborating with the federal government, i.e. Biden and Harris regime, to censor speech in America, I think it changed them. And it also changed the perspective of Donald Trump. Donald Trump isn't this psycho. He's not this lunatic. He's actually a guy who put America first. He lost $2 billion of his asset base just by serving as president of the United States. So all these people sit there and say, well, he's self-serving. That's garbage. Here's a guy who is a self-made billionaire. Yes, his father gave him $1 million or $2 million. But you know what? If he was some sort of what would you say? If he was not a competent business-wise, he could have pissed away that $2 million, that $1 million immediately. And I've seen it happen. I've seen a guy go through $1 million, $840,000 in 7 months. Gonzo, he's out of business. Done. He's done. But President Trump managed to turn that into, what, an $8 billion fortune or empire? So I think what Musk now sees is that Donald Trump's serious. He's seriously putting America first. And the United States of America is the last country on Earth that truly has free speech. Look what they're doing in Brazil. You know, they have Stop X. There are countries in the European Union who want to stop X. You've got China; they don't allow X in there. You know, so they're all stemming speech, and they're all starting with this. They're all trying to control speech, and yet President Trump walks in, and he is a proponent of speech.
Mm-hmm. Well, a great analogy would be the Biden administration is Spirit Airlines, which filed for bankruptcy. The Trump administration will be SpaceX. That is the great analogy. And to give another example of the Biden-Harris incompetence, so just so we're clear and understand liberal logic, Kamala Harris is the woman who raised $1.4 billion and ended up $20 million in debt in 3 months, and she was going to fix the U.S. economy. How in the world would that ever happen?
You know.
And I want to see an accounting of this $1.4 billion, because you know there's federal election, there's taxpayer dollars somewhere in that $1.4 billion in matching funds. I don't know how much, but I know there's got to be some, and I would love to see an audit of how she spent her $1.4 billion. Because we know that she paid Oprah Winfrey, a billionaire herself, $1 million to appear.
Oh,
country, Beyonce.
Wait. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's been revised today. Okay, it wasn't $1 million.
Okay.
It was $2.5 million. Go ahead.
She paid Oprah $2.5 million.
$2.5 million, so Oprah could say nice things on that interview. That town hall was $2.5 million. She charged the Harris campaign. That's what they paid.
Boy, that's some friend right there. Jeez, if you were running for president, I'd come out and say good things about you for free, and I would be happy doing it. Maybe you could buy me a cigar or something, but can you imagine? And Beyonce, they paid her millions to come and hobnob and raise money, do whatever she did, and
right.
She never even performed. What good is she? She's a singer. She should be performing.
Yeah. Lee Greenwood.
And Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And all the Swifties. They all backed Kamala Harris. And she never performed. I think she did, one or two appearances with Harris?
Yeah.
Big failure. And that monumental, humiliating defeat of all time.
$1.3 billion, was it $1.3 or $1.4 billion, did you say?
That's what they say that she raised in such a short amount of time, $1.4 billion, but she ended up in debt of $20 million. So imagine the graft and corruption that somehow that money must have gotten into friends' pockets, her pockets, Emhoff's pockets, whoever her entourage is. I think it was the big rape. But
oh,
I don't
God.
Know for sure, but it sure smells like it.
And she wanted to, and she was going to fix the problems that, that she caused, that she and Joe caused. Yeah.
Right, and she can do it now. She could have, I mean, the election's over. They're there until January. We're in November. She could publicly be doing all of her promises on the campaign trail. She could be working on those now and doing it in a spectacular "see, I told you so" fashion. But she's gone into the she went into the Joe Biden closet and she's been out of sight. She hasn't
shown her.
I haven't seen her anywhere. Which
I'm
grateful
glad.
For, but it's still odd behavior.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know what? Look at the fallout, okay? Look what's going on around the country. The fallout has been massive. You know, you've got in Tim Tampon's state of Minnesota, Minnesota election judge charged with letting unregistered people vote in the 2024 election. Now, the Minnesota is technically Marxist, I'm sorry, Democrat. So a Minnesota election judge has been hit with felony charges for allowing several people who were not registered to vote to cast ballots in the 2024 elections. So much for free and fair elections. And then you go across the country and you have similar instances. I'll tell you what, even our own Hank Jones, he called me. He witnessed it in, right next to him. Two people walked in to vote in early voting, and they told the individual that they were not registered to vote. And guess what? You had to register by October the 7th in Florida. And they weren't registered to vote. He says, the next thing I know is that these two people are taken by the poll worker there upstairs to another room. He says, I watched you go up the stairs, and they were gone for, he says, about 15 minutes, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. He says, and I waited. He goes, I watched. They came back down. They were handed provisional ballots, and they voted. Now, he says, election, in order to vote in the state of Florida, you had to register by October 7th. And they allowed these individuals to vote. Now, he goes, I don't know who they voted for, but he says, I find it very, very suspect and very troubling. So you have these improprieties going on, and it's just, it, you know, there's no accountability as long as that the Democrat Party can cheat. And, you know, they use the term free and fair elections just as a meaningless cliche. They use the rule of law term as another meaningless cliche. You know, you've got the Biden-Harris regime trampling on the U.S. Constitution at all turns right out of the box with Article 4, Section 4 being, you know, being violated. And then to Annie's point, okay, with regards to declaring war without the consent of Congress. So you've got – which one is this one? Let's see, Al. I'm looking at the Constitution. Article 1 – Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, it says to declare war, Congress shall have the power to declare war. So you've got Joe Biden violating Article 1, Section 8. You have Joe Biden, Kamala Harris violating the student loan forgiveness. The U.S. Supreme Court not once but twice struck it down, say it was unconstitutional, and they did it anyways. And so, you know, the lawlessness that's coming out of the Biden-Harris-Obama regime is endless, including from their little chimpanzees like Mayorkas, like Merrick Garland. You know, they all are on the same page. They'll look you straight in the eye. They will lie. They will cheat and they will steal. And that's what they've done. And the American people rejected this. And, you know, and I don't blame Kamala Harris for not showing her face, because she did everything in her power to avoid, okay, being put on the spot because she was a weak and shallow candidate. But she was who the institution wanted installed. And you have the lady in Iowa, okay, the pollster in Iowa, who said that Kamala Harris had a 3-point lead and she lost the state by 11 or 12 points. I mean, seriously, you know, at what point do you hold these people accountable? The media lied. They lied in order to influence and to tamper with the U.S. elections, as they did in Iowa. They did ABC News, NBC News, CBS News, the legacy news media did it. They did it intentionally. They lied in order to influence the 2024 elections. Why? Because they don't want America first. They want America to be subservient to the globalists. I mean, Wendy P. said it the best. She nailed it, absolutely nailed it with regards to the Uniparty. And once again, the American people rejected DEI. They're rejecting this trans movement that's been forced upon the American people and to expose our children to it. The American people don't want the end of fossil fuels, and you've got Biden, Harris, and the globalists want to put America to an abrupt end to using fossil fuels. We don't want electric cars. If you want an electric car, we want to have the ability to buy it on our own. If you want an electric car or hybrid, by all means, God bless you. Go buy one. If you want a Tesla, go buy one. And guess who's the biggest, one of the biggest sellers of electric vehicles? It's Musk company, Tesla. If you want one, go and buy it. God bless you. But don't sit here and tell us that by 2025 and by 2030 that we're going to eliminate fossil fuel. And we've already seen inflation rise to the highest levels in over 40 years, the highest sustained gas prices, the highest sustained grocery prices. We see our utility bills doubling. And you don't think that the American people are impacted by that? All because you want to pass your fucking DEI and your trans crap? And, you know, the violation of Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution by Biden and Harris. This is what another thing that really gets me. You've got the Biden-Harris regime. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris have actively adopted Agenda 2030. That's the U.N. Agenda 2030. They have adopted the Paris Accord, both of those without congressional approval. They've unilaterally implemented this radicalization from the globalists, and in the process, they falsely claim that President Trump signed on to Agenda 2025, which was put out by the Heritage Foundation. And even the Heritage Foundation spokesman who wrote one of the items, okay, one of the sections, she said, we never conversed with President Trump nor anybody in his campaign. It's an absolute lie. It's false that he supports this. This is an agenda by the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank. The Brookings Institute puts out their agenda, a liberal think tank. The Woodrow Wilson Foundation puts out theirs. They're a liberal think tank. But you see, the distraction by Biden-Harris to continue the radical agenda of DEI, of trans, to end fossil fuels, to end gas, to end dependency, and to make Americans dependent is what the American people rejected. I'm sorry, but when you go to fill up your SUV, your vehicle, and you're paying $15 more for a fill-up, that impacts you financially. When you go to the grocery store and you're spending $120 and you're bringing home 4 bags of grocery when you used to spend $60 and bringing home 6 bags of groceries, something is wrong. It doesn't matter what race, creed, or color you are. These prices impact everybody. As I told my niece when she was pissing and moaning, you know, about, oh, Trump, this Trump. I said, let me tell you something. When you go and fill up the car, do you pay for the fill-up, the gas? Yes, I do. And I don't like it. I'm paying more for gas, really. Now, when you go to the gas pump, do you press female or male? What are you talking about? I said, do you press a button that says female or male? No, there's no such button. Do you press a button that says white, black, or other? No. I just press the unleaded fuel. No kidding. So at the gas pump, they don't know what color you are. There's no fraction of society here. That means that the gas prices impact each and every person, irrespective of race, color, or creed. And don't you think that impacts everybody's household income? And you're demanding more money, and yet you're paying more for your life. You're paying more for your living expenses. Don't you get it? That's what people are pissed off about. And we have something to match it up against. President Trump's, you know, term from 2017 to 2020, we know exactly what he's capable of doing. And now it's going to be even better because he's not going to be beholden to the institutional Washington, D.C. syndicate, except for the confirmation process, which I think he's got something up his sleeve. And it's why he nominated Matt Gaetz as AG to call John Thune's hand. And we are going to see exactly what Wendy P. said. We are going to see who the communists are in the United States Senate. We already know it's Murkowski, Collins, and those other players, but we're going to see exactly what John Thune is made of. He gave us that lip service. Well, we are in total support of President Trump's agenda. Yeah, bite me. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, the icing on the cake are MSNBC hosts Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. For the last umpteen months, they've been calling President Trump every vile epithet in their arsenal, from fascist to Hitler, etc. Well, they requested a meeting with guess who? President Trump at Mar-a-Lago to make peace.
Oh. I was going to say Robert Reich, but we haven't heard from him. Go ahead.
Well, these two Trump haters requested a meeting with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago to discuss this great deportation that's going to happen when he gets when he's inaugurated in January. And President Trump accepted their request. These are arch enemies. They hate President Trump. They said so many vile things about the man that were lies and innuendo and just pure hate, and repeatedly over and over as a way to impact the election. And then the minute that he won, I don't think I could be that forgiving. Yeah, I would not be that forgiving. To request a meeting for the benefit of two people that for over a year and longer, probably for the last 3 years, have been bashing me in public, my wife, my kids, my businesses. But he did. That's the kind of man that Trump is. He didn't need to do it. There's nothing to be gained by having a meeting with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. It's not going to change what they say or think about him on the air. But he granted them that respect, and they didn't deserve it. If anything, they deserve the opposite. So kudos to President Trump for being a bigger man than me and probably 90% of people in the United States of America.
It was. I give him a lot of credit for that. I would have told him to go pound sand, especially after their ratings came out and they were down 40%.
Exactly. Who does that?
Right.
And like you were talking about Twitter before, Twitter was silencing critics. They were silencing you and me and anybody else who were against the CDC and these mask mandates and the jab and everything negative that went along with that for two solid years. We were silenced.
Mm-hmm.
From these same people. So anyway, I think that's a nice cherry on top of the cake.
Well stated. I got to tell you, well stated. That's something that many of us would not have done, but President Trump did. So kudos to President Trump and to Mika and Joe. So hey, thank you all for joining us. And hey, check out the Hank Jones Poly Sports Show Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank's got a great summary in his posse on college football. We'll talk some politics as well. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakdak and a beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, Hank Jones has a college football wrap-up with Avid Mike. They do a good job. I don't think he had a show this week. I think they couldn't do it. But I tell you what, him and Avid Mike, these two guys know sports. They know football. They are Iowa Hawkeye fans, but they know football overall. So, and Al and I will be back next Monday evening. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include, she's in the chat room right now, Annie Southern Sense Talk Radio, 1 to 4 p.m. on Friday afternoons, and she's on StreamYard, StreamYard.com. So check out from 1 to 4 p.m. on Friday afternoons, check out Annie and her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. That's 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want a break from politics and you want an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. Joshua does a fantastic job, a great self-help show. Bigfoot's there, Ducky, Northwest, and Dogs is in the chat room always, and the master of music is Bigfoot. He's just absolutely impressive. A great American is Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Check out Audrey's show Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com. That's AudreyRusso.com. Awesome lady. She's a great American. And then Saturday evenings, go to Spreaker.com and check out the Reactionary Show at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's RZ, and you'll get to see probably hear from older there as well. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com for a great blog spot. I read it daily, add it to your daily reading. It gives you some great national and international news. So great job on that. Bigfoot, Ducky Northwest, good to see you. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Gulf Dogs HOV Radio, nice to see you all. And everybody out there in podcast land, thank you so much. Al, any parting shots?
And the breaking news at the G20 meeting, all the world leaders for their final group photo. Guess who wasn't in it? Joe Biden, because he walked off early. They took the picture, and then everybody left. Joe Biden was hiding behind a tree somewhere and then came in late. Thank you, Joe.
What an embarrassment. Absolute embarrassment. Ugh. All right, folks, you all have a nice evening. Make America great. God bless you all. Thank you all for joining us, and prayers out to my family members. Talk to you later. God bless you all. Ciao for now. Here's Frankie taking us out. Be safe out there, folks.
Yes, it was. My way.
Huh.
Wow. Good show.
Yeah.
A lot of content.
Man, we did a lot of content. That's right. I forgot to talk about Thompson Cigars too. They have a cigar box sale. Dang.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They get some good sales every now and then.
They do. They do. And I like their theirs and who is it? JR Cigars. I like their what do you call it? Let me see. There was one their deals. There you go. They have some cigars with free shipping. Kind of like they got some good cigars, mix match. They have Fireball packet collectors, $44. You get shot glasses with it as well. Eight one. Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
That's a nice Christmas stocking stuffer.
You know what, Al? That's actually a great idea. Fireball party pack collector's tube. It's a sample. It comes with 8 cigars. It's got 4 shot glasses, and it comes in a tube. You know what? That's a great idea. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, get it for the wife, and I don't. Maybe she smokes. I don't think she smokes cigars. I'd get it for her, and then she'll give them back to you.
You know, that's also a really good idea. They have a Rocky Patel Champions Cup combo. You get five cigars and you get the a tumbler with it too. So that's a nice little one. I'll give it a tumbler.
Rocky, they make good. They make a good cigar, Rocky Patel.
You like them? Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. I've got a few of their Javas. I got a 5-pack of their Javas in my humidor, actually.
Oh,
that I haven't smoked yet.
Oh. Oh yeah. By the way, I haven't opened up that pack yet. You gave me, so I'll have to try it out there. Let me see what else. So that's a. Okay. Well, that's pretty much all I got tonight.
Yeah, that's about it here.
Yeah. A lot
so
happening.
Hopefully we'll get some good news about Podbean or Spreaker, because it'd be a shame to go all the way over to Spreaker if they're going to get rid of their chat room.
Yeah.
Why they just don't bring that whole Blog Talk Radio platform over to Spreaker is a mystery. If they're owned by the same company, I could see them consolidating. Why you don't need two separate companies doing the same thing?
Well, do you think maybe it's just too expensive, and that's one of the reasons why this whole thing?
Because you mean to maintain it? And it very well could be, because I mean, my looking around at all these different companies,
yeah,
it's more the podcasting. You record your podcast yourself, and then you upload it onto another platform, and that's what I've seen a lot of. I haven't seen too much like this Blog Talk Radio, where we just hop on and we talk, we can have call-in guests, chat room, all that stuff. And I guess now that she's leaving, I'm going to miss her as much as she drove me crazy before. Because we've been with Blog Talk for how many years now? Like 12, 13, maybe 14?
2009.
Oh, geez, I can't even do the math.
Yeah, 15 years.
Wow, that was quick.
I know. It was. It really was. God almighty. Hey, I have to go, so I will.
Okay.
I'll talk at you later this week, okay?
All right. Be good.
All right. And you too.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.